Either we're going to pray or we're not going to pray. That's what it comes down to. Either you're going to be sincere or you're not going to be sincere. I think sometimes that we just overlook what prayer is all about. Prayer is your communication between you and God through the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Following this, what they call the symbolic washing of feet, as Jesus did in chapter 13, verses 1 through 30, he gave his disciples some private instructions on what they needed to do. As they prayed, he told them to pray. And we know the model prayer is, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," in Matthew 6:9. And it continues on that process. And today, thank you, young man, appreciate it. As you think about it today, when you think about your prayer life, do you ever go back and look at that prayer? Do you ever really look at it and say what it really says to you in relationship to your Father in heaven? Well, there's something else that Jesus said, too, in this text. You can look at chapter 17 of the book of John, and you can also say it is the Lord's high priestly prayer, and you can also say that it is the Lord's prayer also, because he was willing to share this relationship with us as we come together to bond together in the relationship. He said in verse 4 of this text, he said this, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." I want you to remember that verse, and you ought to just highlight it or underline it, verse 4 of chapter 17. The Father has one specific thing for us to do. It's to follow him. You hear that? To follow him in our everyday walk of life. But it seems that sometimes we start on that straight path and we always want to deviate somewhere. We always want to take the detour. It's like coming to a fork in a road, right? You decide which way you're going to go. If it's a road sign, you'll follow the road sign. If there's no sign, you'll say, "Eeny, meeny, miny, moe," and then you'll go, right? But you don't know where your destination is going to be. Well, through God's Word, if you follow God's Word as it's given to us, you'll find out it's on a straight path. And on that straight path, that everything we do is to keep in what? In the context of His Word, to live our lives according to what He has given us to do. Even our prayer life is to be on a straight and narrow path. When was the last time that you sought the Lord in your life and asked God to help you? When was the last time that you asked Him to forgive you of some wrong in your life, or you just stood up and said, "Well, I don't need to do that"? We've been studying in our Sunday school lesson the last couple of weeks about old Jonah. And I always liked Jonah because, you know, Jonah was the type of guy, you know, that, "Hey, Lord, yep, Lord called him to go, and Jonah ran away. Boom, gone." How many of us do that? When God speaks to us, how many of us just turn and hightail it the other way? It's easy to do, isn't it? Well, Jonah did all those things, too. He went and got on a ship going to Tarshish, as we know. As he got down there, right, as he was on his way, there was a big storm came up. Everybody became afraid, and he's down in the bottom of the boat sleeping. Now, if you can sleep during the storm, you're doing pretty good. But that's what he was doing. But what's interesting about Jonah was this. Jonah's life changed after he was thrown overboard, after the big fish got him. And over in Matthew, it talks about a whale, what Jesus said. But the big fish got him, swallowed him up, and then all of a sudden, Jonah had a, what I call a prayer time. You ever notice sometimes you have to get in a situation like that, being swallowed up by a big fish, before you ever get on your face and pray? Why is that? Because we think that we can handle all the problems of life, and we can't. Just like Jonah. What if God prepared for you a great big fish, and all of a sudden he swallowed you up, and you're rolling around in the belly of that old fish? You got all the seaweed hanging around your ears. The acid starts to eat on your skin. And then all of a sudden you're sitting down and you're going, "Lord, I know I did wrong. Will you please help me and save me now?" And then all of a sudden when Jonah got himself turned around to realize what his life was like after he prayed, it says that they spit him up on dry land. And I like that part because when you think about being spit up on dry land, I'll guarantee you when his feet hit the sand or the pavement, wherever he was, he didn't slow down until he got to Nineveh. Amen. But why was that? Because it took God getting his attention in the storm. Sometimes we have to wonder about the storms of our lives when they come. What do we do? How do we overcome them? How do we get ahead? It's by seeking God in the relationship that you build with him. Please stand with me this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word, John 17, verse number 13, I'm going to read down through about verse number 19. He said, "And now come I to thee. These things I said, I speak in the world, that they might have what? My joy fulfilled in themselves." I want you to remember this now. Joy fulfilled in themselves. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest what take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." He says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through my truth." Then he said, "Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we're in your presence this morning once again at Fairport Baptist Church. May we take this time to realize how important it is that when we gather together in this place, that we come together as one in Christ, the body of Christ, as believers. May we take to heart today this message that we as Christians can overcome obstacles because you, your Son, overcame death and the grave to give us victory. And today I have victory in Him because of being an overcomer as He was and giving me the opportunity to overcome the things of this world. Be with us now in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. When you hold God's Word in your hand, the Bible, do you ever just take this for granted? This book right here. Do you ever look at it and say, "Well, why do I need this? What good is it to me?" I talk to people all the time, and it's really amazing to me how many will tell you, "Yeah, I got a Bible at home. When was the last time you looked at it?" "Well, I can't recall." I can ask Christians the same question. "When was the last time you read the book?" And they'll tell you, "I can't recall." You want to know why? Because we don't have that burning desire in our hearts anymore to really live by God's Word and by God's standards. We just take it for granted. Every day is just going to be another day. But every day is not just another day. Every day should be the day of the Lord. And everything that we do in this life should represent Him. Through the Word, through your Christian walk of life, through your disposition, your attitude, and everything else should represent Him. As He was talking in this text this morning, you're going to see what Jesus said, these words very plainly in verse 14. "I have given them" what? "The Word." "Thy Word," He says. God has given us His Word that you should take it, love it, read it, dissect it, do whatever you need to do to get it right here and to get it right here. If you don't take God's Word and use it in your everyday walk of life, you become what I call a weak Christian. We have enough weak people in the world today. We need strong, bona fide Christians that are willing to pray, that are willing to seek God through His Word, and to build their life wholeheartedly on the foundation of this book called the Bible. Many doctrines are in this book, and I'll guarantee you most of you can't even name two or three of them, but they're in this book. It's God's Word to unfold to us how we are to live our lives every day. You can go back to in the beginning, to the amen and the end of Revelation. You can look at it in between, backwards and forwards. You can go to the different Psalms and say, you know, His Word I'll hide in my heart. You know, thou might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. You can go to all these different Psalms and look at them. But the question is this: do you really take to heart the Word that He's given to you to live by? And are you praying and seeking Him daily? I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, please, just very briefly. Because I want us to look at this model prayer that He gave us. before I get into this text. Because in chapter 6 and verse 9, the disciples themselves, they'd been with the Lord, you know, through all that he went through, the ups and downs of life. Things weren't going very well. And then all of a sudden, the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I mean, we just don't know how to pray. Well, let me ask you this. How many of y'all really know how to pray? Some of you. Most people don't. So this is why he gave us the model prayer, because he said this in verse 9. He says what? And after this manner, therefore, he said, pray ye. Now look at it with me. What does he say? Our Father, say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then he said this, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory for how long? Forever. Now when he started out this prayer, the first thing he said was what? Our Father. God is our Heavenly Father. He sits on the big throne. Amen. Jesus Christ is on the right hand side of Him. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, indwells us as Christians. And if we have Christ living in us through the Spirit that indwells us, then we should be able to take this prayer and say to ourselves, Our Father, and I can say it this way, My Father, which art in heaven. Some people even say, My Daddy, who's in heaven. Any way you look at it, He is your Father. He loves you. He wants to watch over you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to protect you. Why did He give us this model prayer? So that we would have something to go by to get our prayer life to where it needs to be. When you pray to the Heavenly Father, do you really pray with a sincere heart? Or do you really just say a whole bunch of flippant words that don't mean a thing? When was the last time you really got serious about prayer? When was the last time you really got down on your knees before God and sought Him in prayer and said very plainly, Lord, I know that I've sinned again. Even though I am a believer in you and you forgive me my sins, I know I have sinned against you. Forgive me of my wrongdoing. Help me to overcome this issue that keeps drawing me away from you and let me be drawn back to you. You see, when Jesus was praying over in John, he said this very plainly to us. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should what? Keep them from the evil. Why did he pray that? He said, even though they're in the world, there's problems around us. We know destruction comes, evil's everywhere, sin runs rapid in the world. He says, don't take them out of the world. Now you can say to yourself, well, I'd rather be gone than to be here with all that stuff. But what is he telling us? He says this. Leave them here. Because I have overcome the world. And because I have overcome the world, and I am the Savior of the world, you are able to overcome any obstacle that comes your way if you have Christ living in your life. That's what he says. You don't have to fall into the world. You don't have to be caught up in the things of the world. You can bypass those things. You know how? By focusing on Him. Focus on Him. Remember the song this morning, Lord, I lift your name on high? Remember that? Came from heaven to earth, you know? Huh? Defeated death, hell, and the grave to give you victory in Jesus. And when you think about the world we live in today, what's the world got for you? Nothing. Not a thing. But we think it does. We think that the world has got everything going for it. Let me tell you what, the world has nothing going for it without God in the center of it. That's our problem today. Churches today are so caught up in the world that they need to see where they're at to get back to where they need to be. Back in the church, back in fellowship, back in relationship, and having Christ centered in your life first. That's what we need. But it's never going to happen until God's people wake up and see where they are. Amen. We had a storm that came last week. Two things happened last week. Read the bulletin, I put that in there. We remember 9/11 last week, don't we? Huh? You remember what happened? Remember where you were? Huh? Everybody remember where you were at? I was talking to Randy Hall the other day. We were up in Richmond with Kyle. And I said, Randy, you remember where we were on 9/11? He said, yeah, we were sitting in your office talking about the Bible. And all of a sudden, May runs in and says, you won't believe what just happened. So we ran into the living room, and the TV was on, and we watched that second plane flying to the building. He says, every year at that time, when it comes about, he remembers that day, where we were at. What happened during that time? What happened? People came together and started to pray. They started to come back to the churches. They started to get on their face before God. God, deliver us from this evil that's come our way. Thousands of people died that day. Whether it was in New York or if it was in Pennsylvania or the Pentagon, people died that day. Their lives were taken. And every year we celebrate the anniversary of that day. All the names are read again. But my question is this. Do you still pray for those victims, the families and loved ones? Do you ask God to help us to overcome this issue, which is always going to be on the back of our mind because of what happened that day? You see, people came to church. Man, they came in groves, didn't they? Everybody wanted to get close to Jesus. Everybody says, we need Jesus. We need the Lord in our life. We need this and we need that. The bottom line was this, they only needed Him for a short period of time. Why was that? Because when the heartache went away, that was the end of it. You know? We show a lot of emotion in the beginning, but then what happens in the end? We start to get back in the same old mode, the same old groove we were in before. Well, you know, we've gone through this scenario, now let's go and do what we used to do. Is that what God wants from us? No, God wants us to continue to pray every day for the victims, for the destruction, and pray that His hand will get back on this nation once again. And it will only happen when God's people start to pray. You know how many people in church this morning? There's millions of people in church this morning. And you know why they're there? You know why most of them are there? Anybody? Because it's a routine. I've been going to church since I was a little guy, you know. Or I've been going to church since I got saved. I've been going to church since this. I've been going to church since that. My question is this. Are you just coming to church to come to church, or are you coming to church for a purpose? What's your purpose? Huh? Praise God, right? That's why we come. That's why we come. There's a purpose for us. We ought to be servants to the Lord to help others, to reach out to them every single day. What did He say here? He said, look, He said, keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You as a Christian are not a part of what the world is doing. You should be above all of that. But boy, we can slip right into it. Fall right back into the same old groove. I know one thing about my life. I never want to go back and do what I used to do. Never. Thought it was great, but it wasn't when I look back. How many of you want to go back and do what you used to do, huh? I don't think it's too many people want to. But why do we act like we're still living back there instead of living for the now? For the Lord, as we should. Look what He said in the next verse, verse 17. Sanctify them through what? Thy truth and Thy word. How do you do that? You got to open it up and say, for God so loved the world that He did what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. He wants you to have everlasting life. It's okay. Babies can cry. That's a great thing. Okay? Because y'all are just like that little baby over there. Amen. Where are you at right now? Where are you in the Word right now? What did He say? He said right here, sanctify them through Thy Word, and Thy Word is truth. And as Thou hast sent Me, He said, unto the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. How many of y'all ever read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, by Rick Warren? You ever read that? Did you ever really take to heart what he was saying in that book? The question is this, what is your purpose that God has for you? Huh? What purpose does He have for you? The first thing is, the purpose is this, to be a servant unto Him and to serve Him. I think sometimes we need to go back and read some of these books and look at some of the things people say. There are many people in the world today that could care less about Rick Warren and what he had to say. But I want you to understand something. The Word of God enables, you hear that word? Enables us to overcome the obstacles that the world throws at us. Okay? We're able to enable us to overcome the obstacles that the world throws at us. That's my opinion of it. Now, when you think about your life today, think about this for just a minute. D.L. Moody, great man of God, in front of his Bible, he had a little statement. And he said this. He said, the Word of God will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Word of God. What? Yeah. The Word of God will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the Word of God. The question is, what part do you want? You want the first part to stay away, or do you want the second part to be caught up in it? You see, these were great men, great scholars of God's Word. But they were simple words that hit home today. You know, we talk about hiding His Word in our heart. Thou might not sin against God. When's the last time you out there doing something, man, you smashed your finger and you said, behold, praise Jesus, amen. Huh? Y'all do that? Huh? I'm like you. I smashed my finger. I'm not going to say, behold. I'm just going to grab it and go, you know, and try to bite my tongue. Doesn't work sometimes, does it? Is that right, Jimmy? Yeah. See, our mind just engages real quick, doesn't it? No, our mouth does. We don't think. If His Word is in our heart and His Word is in our lives, then we will live it to the fullest potential. He said, Thou hast sent me into the world, just like I send you into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Goes back to the Word again. Everybody knows Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, don't you? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. You understand those words? Trust in Him. And then you all know Romans 12, 2, right? To be not conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. So when you got saved, you're to be transformed. You're to be a new person, a new creature in Christ. I guess the question to you is this morning. How many of you actually changed when you got on your face before God, or did you just say a bunch of babbling words and meant nothing? But people do. They say a lot of words. Oh, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I know I've sinned against You. Help me to overcome these obstacles in my life. You know, we say these words, right? The question is this. Where was your heart when you were doing that? Huh? Where was your heart at when you were praying, asking God to save you? Was it just your mind and your lips engaged, or was your heart engaged in it too? Because the Bible teaches me, if I am to come to Christ, I have to be drawn of the Spirit. They used to use a word called being wooed of the Spirit. I don't know where they got that from, but it is. It's to be drawn of the Spirit. As God draws you by the Spirit itself, I'm going to tell you what, when He gets a hold of you, you're going to know it. Because you're not going to stand up there and just say a whole bunch of little words. You're going to fall on your face and you're going to break down real quick. Because God has got your attention. What's it take for God to get our attention today? Storm. When we start helping people when the storms come? You ever start helping people when the storms are not there? To reach out to them? Where's your life right now? Where's the center of your life right now? Where are you centered at right now? Where are you? What are you building your life on? What are you building your life on right now? The truth of God's Word? Through spiritually praying and seeking God daily? Or just living it the way you want to live it? Don't you listen to Psalm 119, 162? I think that's in the bulletin this morning. Says this. He said, I rejoice. I like this. I rejoice at thy word, he says. I rejoice because of that word. He's excited about it. As one that findeth, he said, great spoil, he said. Boy, he said, I'm so happy, you know. He said, I'm rejoicing. Why? It's just like I found a whole bunch of money laying around somewhere. I got happy. Spoils of the world, right? But what did he say first? He said, man, he said, I rejoice because of what? Because of thy word. I rejoice because of you. It's not the things that I have in life. It's because I have you in my life. He says, I can rejoice. Get excited about those things, you know. We're an exciting bunch here in this church. I can always tell that. We're so excited, you know, somebody dropped dead, they wouldn't know who to get when they come in. Amen. And this is how life is. We're like that. Where's your expression of joy? How do you express joy? You ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about the joy in your life? When do you really get joyful in your life? When do you really get joyful? Huh? I look over here and I think about, you know, I think about this small child sitting here today. And I think about the joy that small child has brought to you just in the last month. Amen? Yeah? Then I think about what's coming in a couple of years. Amen? How old is the oldest boy? 2.5. Oh, you're going through the terrible twos. Well, guess what? You go through the pleasing threes, then you go back to the terrible fours, okay? That's what you do. The fact is this, it brings you joy to see a small child come into the world, to see what God has given, the gift of life. See? That life right there. And the millions that never had life because they took it. It's sad, isn't it? That gives you joy. Faye looks over there, she's got great joy, right? His great grandma's looking for him. I'm going to tell you, she's excited. Great granddaddy, too. Doesn't it give you joy? Sure, it does. It's supposed to. And that joy should be what? Flowing through you. See, it's like having that joy. God's joy is what? Having Christ in your life. Building your life on that love. But what happens to us in life today? Let me give you the second thing. We neglect the Word of God in prayer. We neglect the Word of God, and we neglect our prayer life today. I have great security to know what God does for me. Because God holds me close, near and dear. He wraps His arms around me when I'm not right. I know that He does. He says, all right, Neil, get yourself straight, man. I know that. But I need that. I need to have Him holding on to me and loving me like nobody else. Don't neglect the opportunity God has given you to serve Him. Whether it's reading His Word and sharing it with somebody else, having great joy. When people see you, they ever say to you, well, you're a joyful person? Huh? Or they look at you and say, well, you sure gloomy. Now, which one do you want? Don't you want to see somebody that's joyful? I see people when they're all gloomy all the time. It's sad, isn't it? Because you always got that, you know, that puppy dog look, you know. Things aren't very good. Joy is supposed to come within you, out of you. If that joy is down in there, boy, and you get it to the forefront, and you get around somebody, they say, why are you so happy? And I always like to tell them, Jesus loves me just like He loves you. Boy, you can just bring it right back on them real quick, you know. That's what you do. And you have that joy to share with somebody. Now, last of all, let me say this morning. We have the greatest joy in life. Why? Because we share His glory. Look at verses 20 through 26. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, I in thee, he says. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. All right, He sent him into the world to do what? To touch hearts and lives, to heal people, to change people's lives. Same today. But look at this, verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, he says, that they may be one even as we are one. And what do you talk about one? One in Christ, one Spirit, you know, coming together, uniting all Christians together in the body of Christ. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and have loved them as thou hast loved me. Why does He love us? Because what? He first loved us. That's a relationship we build through that love. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may, what? Behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He loved you before you were ever created, because He knew you before you were created. Amen. And he still gave you life. Amen. I just had to kick that in there because I don't know how it is. But he loved you first. And then he said this in the last two verses. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Love. Love, he says. A relationship of love and unity and joy. And it's called this. Two words. It's called spiritual unity. One with Christ. Spiritual unity and one with Christ. You know, we have a lot of things in common, whether you believe it or not. Christ living in us through the Spirit. We come together, brothers and sisters in Christ. And it should encourage us through God's Word that He loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. But He loved us enough to give us the precious Word called the Bible. He loved us enough to send the Holy Spirit to us when He went back to heaven. And He loves us enough that He's coming one day to take us home. That's love. Because he could have done this very quickly and said, I wash my hands to all of you, Father. I don't want anything to do with these people. Let them perish. But what did he do? What did he do? He gave you all this love. All this love. So you could share that love with somebody else. His word. Through prayer. Supplication, however you want to look at it. God has given us the opportunity to promote true spiritual unity, whether it's in the church, outside the church, in the sin-sick world, we can still have spiritual unity with brothers and sisters in Christ. One day we're all going to stand at the judgment seat. And you know what's really interesting about the judgment seat of Christ? All of you individually are going to be there by yourself. What's that going to make you feel like? You think about it right now. Huh? You're going to stand before God Almighty, you and Him. Nobody else, just you and Him. What's it going to do to you? How are you going to feel when the day comes? You stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ as your judge and everything else that's going on. Well, as a Christian, I know what's going to happen. He's going to say, enter thou good and faithful servant to the joy of the Lord. But for every person that has rejected Him, denied Him, walked away from Him, when He says those words, depart from me, I never knew you. He that worketh iniquity. That's going to be a sad day. But it will be a one-on-one. So I want you to think about it this week. Does your life come to an end in the next day or two? Are you ready? Are you ready this afternoon? Will you be ready tomorrow? Or the next day? Do you think those people in North Carolina that died this weekend or this week, were thinking about dying? Mother, 8-month-old baby. Lady had a heart attack. Another man electrocuted himself trying to plug in a generator, standing in water. You know? What do you think? The ones that had the generator in the house running and died because of carbon monoxide poisoning? You think they were thinking about dying that day? You have no idea when your last breath is taken, but I can guarantee you this. If you're going to be in the presence of the Lord, you're going to be in the presence of the devil. The old saying is, the choice is yours. You need to make that decision for Jesus Christ today. I wouldn't tarry. And I wouldn't sit there if I have any doubt about my salvation. I wouldn't sit here and say, if I doubted my salvation, you know where I'd be this morning? Right here on my knees before God. That's what I would do. But I have a promise. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Promise from God's word. Why do we make it hard? Because the devil wants to make it hard for you to say, hey, it's okay to wait again. Never wait on what God has provided for you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of Jesus Christ. Today is the day to turn your heart